it is Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Second hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Darren McFarland, that's me, here on the south side of town in Rutherford County and Smyrna. Willie Donick over in East Nashville. Chase McCabe out on the west side in Bellevue. And Marquise Munson back at our Wholesale Link Game Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Titans first-round pick Thursday night, 29th overall, and the virtual NFL draft was Isaiah Wilson, the big tackle from Georgia. We watched him in his playing days in the SEC. Of course, Georgia coming right here to Nashville to kick off their season against Vanderbilt. Chase, we were there in the stands, and right now we welcome Isaiah Wilson to the show. Isaiah, how you doing? Good morning.
Good morning. It's a great pleasure to be on the show with you guys this morning.
Well, thanks for joining us. So how does it feel now that the dust has settled and you can come up for air and just think about now you're ready to start your professional career? What was the whole experience like?
It was very surreal, to say the least. It was a very special moment for me and my family. I went through a wave of emotions. I was just extremely happy and ready to get to work and to join the culture that is at Tennessee, and I'm ready to be a part of the family.
I'm surprised, Isaiah, over the years, how many players I've talked to and asked this question, how many say they had no clue who was going to take them. I just always kind of felt like the process would lead you to having an idea or some conversations or what have you. So I'll ask you what I've asked so many people over the years. Did you have any clue where you were going, who was really interested in you? Did you think the Titans were a possibility?
I just knew in my heart and believed that I was a first rounder, and that would happen for me. And I had a few inklings, but there was nothing ever really said as to where I was going or who was taking me, so I didn't know on that end, you know. Mm-hmm. But I was definitely just excited and waiting and willing to work for whoever called upon me to help them win games and to be a part of the team. I really had no foresight coming in there.
Obviously, you did a lot of winning at Georgia. So in your college career, you got to experience a lot of winning. And now you're coming to a team on the heels of just their season ended at the AFC Championship game to the eventual Super Bowl winner. So what is that like, knowing coming into a team that was coming off a very successful year?
It just means I get to learn from a lot of people who have been there and done it at a high level. When you go in the championship game, you're doing something right and you're doing it at a high level, and the culture of the team is all positive and whatnot, and it should be easy to come in and kind of learn from those guys. I mean, I just want to soak up all the knowledge I can from all the veteran linemen and from all the veteran players, just to pick their brain on IQ and how to read certain plays as an offensive player and things of that nature. I just can't wait to win.
How much does it excite you? Georgia was no stranger to running the football. There's been some pretty special running backs come through that program over decades of football in Athens, Georgia, but no different than your time there. How much does it excite you knowing you're coming to a franchise that also is run-oriented? They're going to give the ball to their big back, Derrick Henry.
I love that aspect of the game for sure. I like beating people up, and I'm sure I'm going to have the opportunity to do that.
We're talking to Isaiah Wilson, the first-round draft pick for the Tennessee Titans. And Isaiah, my brother lived in Brooklyn for a long, long time, and so I've spent a lot of time up there. And so I'm curious what it was like playing football in that unique place. I mean, it's such a, you know, vastly populated area, massive city, and it's not known as much for producing football players. So what was that like growing up?
It was definitely different. I would always get the funny stares. I was always big as a kid, so I was told to my teachers I was always the biggest kid in the school or in the class, and it's interesting. Everyone kind of wonders if you play basketball and whatnot, but it's interesting and it's fun. So, and it's unique, and it's great to be able to show kids from where I'm from that you could do it as well.
So what were the youth leagues like up there? We have this vision of, you know, high school football on Friday nights in the Southeast. I'm sure you got a taste of it when you went down to Athens. But so what was it like for you in high school? What's a high school week like or game night like from your hometown?
My high school is actually pretty big on football, so we could have a Friday night lights game, and the whole school would come out, and the opposing school they would come out whenever we played. It was a big game. We weren't in a conference because of the league we were in. We were too good for it, so they kind of left that conference and just started playing independent schools up and down the East Coast. So we were always playing pretty good competition or maybe even a post-grad school, and we would typically pack out our stadium.
Now, is Coach Vrabel aware that you have quarterback experience from high school, lining up in the Wildcat offense? I got to hear about this. I'm looking at the Georgia bio here. 3 touchdowns in 1 game as a QB. Tell us about that.
pretty much in high school, I went to Wildcat. I told my coach to let me run the ball a few times, and I promised him I would score. And I ended up getting it in. I got it in a few times, and it was a lot of fun, especially being a lineman. I played tight end my whole career up until high school, so I was always kind of good with a ball. I had good ball skills, good athleticism, and I just got the ball in high school and made my most of the opportunity.
So I feel like Coach Vrabel's gotta know this, right? Arthur Smith, this is material for the future here. I can see some goal line situations. You know, there's also some offensive linemen for the Titans that have caught touchdown passes, so that you could be in that club.
Yeah, definitely. Try to sneak that in there and see if Coach Vrabel let me catch a few TD passes.
You're okay with that, all right. So how did you get to Georgia? Tell us about the recruiting process.
I got to Georgia because of Coach Pitt, I would say, and Coach and just the family that 2017 class was building. I didn't know a ton of people in the 2016 class, but I knew from watching them that year while I was in high school, I just knew that they were pretty much going to get over the hump that everyone said that they were going through, you know? I think that year they went 7-5 or 7-6. Everyone pretty much tried to say that team was down and out, and I had a different feeling about them. I saw a lot of games that were won and lost. I mean, I think they could have easily been 10-2, and everybody would have looked at them different. And I wanted to be a part of that team. It was Coach Smart's first year there. I like the culture that he was building and putting into place at that college, at that university. And the 2017 class was a very special class, very tightly knit, big family culture is what was there. And I definitely wanted to be a part of something special and be with those guys and work with those guys. And get coached by the best O-line coach that I could.
I always felt like Georgia, when you go to Athens, it's such a beautiful place. I'm wondering what that was like for you going from the city like you did. When you visited Georgia, what were your thoughts when you got to the campus?
It was definitely a new way of life, but I enjoyed it a ton, like a real tremendous amount. Being from New York, I'm used to seeing a lot of concrete, a ton of buildings. Not really nature side of life, but when I got to Georgia, I was able to experience plains, fields, just open farmland, driving around and seeing horses, that kind of thing. And that's something new to appreciate that I couldn't do in New York. And just smelling the air out there on a farm is different than walking outside and smelling the air of a busy New York street. So there's a lot of things I got to take in when I got to Georgia that I got to enjoy. Definitely enjoyed my fair share of barbecue. So it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun for me, and I can't wait to see what Tennessee has to offer and what being in there entails. I've been there a few times. It's a gorgeous state, gorgeous wildlife, gorgeous nature, and I just can't wait to experience it.
We're talking to Isaiah Wilson, the first-round pick by the Tennessee Titans. So how many of your fellow offensive linemen have you had a chance to talk to since you your name was called by the Titans?
I've talked to a few. You know, just kind of chopping it up. They introduced themselves to me and pretty much told me if I need anything, I could call them, ask them, talk to them. And just build a relationship with them, and that I highly appreciate that. I'm sure as I get deeper into this playbook, they're gonna regret giving me that option. I'm gonna be calling them a lot to make sure I got the plays right. But other than that, I just can't wait to be a part of the family and get to go to work.
How excited are you to be able to work and, like you just said, pick the brain of somebody like Taylor Lewan that has played at such a high level at the tackle position?
It's definitely going to be fun. I get to learn tips and tricks he's using after being in the league for some years now, and I get to learn those as a rookie, you know, so it's definitely going to be fun. Just to learn all the tricks in the toolbox and safety rotation and what he reads and where he looks on a defender and how he keeps his hands consistent and just using it in my game, I think it's going to be a lot of fun, especially when you start to figure it out.
Now, Isaiah, I don't know if you have studied the videos of this offensive line, but you know one of the prerequisites is you're going to have to be able to chug a beer. Possibly through a catfish, because this offensive line has been known to do that. I don't know what your skills are in that department, but I'm just giving you a heads up that you need to be ready for that.
That ain't no problem.
Well, that's a good thing, because this line knows how to have a good time. Is that what you're probably the most excited about, is just seeing how close knit they are, and that, you know, they're a family, they go to work, but they have fun?
Yeah, definitely. I can't wait to be a part of it, man. Those are two things I really enjoy about the game. I like having fun, and I like the brotherhood that's built behind having fun and going to work with somebody and winning games with them, and, you know, just doing that type of stuff. So I can't wait, personally.
So, Isaiah, let's end with this. Let's learn a couple fun facts about you. So, what type of music do you listen to? What's your go-to?
Man, I listen to everything. That's a trick question.
Okay.
I listen to rap. I listen to R&B. I listen to rock. I listen to soul. I listen to some oldies, you know, some reggae.
So, whatever you're feeling that day.
Pretty much everything. Yeah.
Okay.
Some days I wake up and I just play some Motley Crue. Some days I wake up and I play some Bradley Gilbert.
What is typically your game day mood? What's your music on game day?
Oh, man. Okay, that ranges, too. Sometimes, you know, I like to hear, like, some singing. Like, sometimes I listen to some singers on game day, kind of just puts you in a different headspace, you know?
Okay.
Sometimes I listen to some aggressive rap, aggressive rock, but that all varies and depends. I just wake up and just listen to a singer a whole day just because their voice was sounding, like, great for whatever reason that day.
All right. Okay, and finally, your favorite food is what?
My favorite food? It might be churros.
It may be what?
Can I say churros?
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, why not?
Yeah, so that's an interesting answer. I thought we were going to get that.
You could find a churro in Nashville. You can.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, I like churros and like funnel cake.
Okay. You can definitely find both of those.
All right, cool, for sure. I can't wait. I get to try out some churros and funnel cake in Nashville.
Well, hopefully you guys, we talked to the general manager, John Robinson, yesterday. Hopefully you guys will be able to get out on the field sooner rather than later in these unusual times that we're in. Congratulations on getting selected in the first round by the Titans. We're looking forward to getting to know you better once you get here, and thanks for joining us.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
All right. That is Isaiah Wilson, the big tackle from Georgia, the Titans' first-round pick, the 29th pick overall, on Thursday evening. We will come back. More of Darren, Donnick, and Chase next. Back here on Darren, Donnick, and Chase on this Tuesday, Isaiah Wilson. Rick Stockstill coming up at noon. We'll talk to him to start the third hour of the program. Joe Ward at 1 o'clock. So those are things on tap here on Darren, Donnick, and Chase. They got themselves a big offensive lineman. Did he just tell us his favorite food is churros and funnel cake?
Yeah, he did.
I'm not going to hate on him for that. Good for him.
Pete Weber is going to love this. Pete Weber, every single time we go to Arizona and play the Coyotes, he a round of churros is coming down broadcast row. You can book it.
So how do you properly – it's, I always call it a churro. You're calling it – what do you – how do you say it? You just said churro.
I think it's churro.
Okay. I wasn't sure. We're talking about, for people out there, this is kind of like that cinnamon
it's like a fried dough.
It's like a cinnamon.
Yeah.
It's got the grooves. Churro and funnel cake. Look.
Funnel cake is no problem, as I'm sure he experienced at Georgia. You're going to go at any fair, any place. You're going to, in fact, the concourse at Bridgestone Arena, that smells like funnel cakes, you mm-hmm. know, on certain wings, you know, so that's no problem. Churros a little bit harder to find, but you can find them.
Oh, you can find them for sure. Well, up on the third level, close to your broadcast area, they've got that funnel cake area where they make funnel cakes.
Oh,
right
yeah.
There.
They're all over the place.
I love a good funnel cake.
Oh, I remember one time at a Preds game, a long, long time ago, I had on dark pants. In fact, at the time, I think they were like blue corduroys, okay? Navy blue corduroys. And I got myself a funnel cake, and my pants were white by the time I was done with it. I had made such a monster mess of that funnel cake. And I think that was the last time I ever ordered a funnel cake because I made such a mess and I was so embarrassed how much of the powder I had all over my pants. There's no clean way to eat a funnel cake.
They're hazardous. It's a hazardous process to eat the funnel cake, but it's usually worth it.
Yeah. So what do you think their true plans are for Isaiah Wilson? What do you think they privately would like for it to play out? How do you think they would like for it to play out? Do you think they would like for him to sit and learn for a period of time, or do you think they would like for him to win out and be their day one starter?
Well, I think they would love for him to be a fast learner and jump in there. and start on day one so that you could move Dennis Kelly into the ultra utility man like he's been so good at in the past. But I don't know how realistic that is with no off-season program and very much up in the air and when you can get out on the field and start working on some stuff like that. So, but I think their roster is better with him starting.
Yeah, I think secretly they want him to be the guy. I mean, they've paid Dennis Kelly. Dennis Kelly's going to be here. They know what they have in Dennis Kelly, and if they have to start the season with him at right tackle, then I think they're willing to do that. But I think they want to see what he has in training camp. Now, you know, who knows if their plans are going to be delayed because of how all this has gone, and I think this is where you're thankful that you have Dennis Kelly and you have him under a three-year contract, because – you may be delayed in putting Isaiah Wilson in that starting spot just because you're not going to have the one-on-one time with him. You're doing everything virtually. Who knows how training camp's going to be affected. So you've bought yourself a little bit of time with Dennis Kelly, but I believe, I'm with Willie, I believe that they want Isaiah Wilson to come in here and be the guy.
Interesting. You're right. The way
they're prepared for different roads, don't you think? They're prepared for it to go any number of pathways, which is smart.
I think if they didn't have Dennis Kelly, who knows if they still would have pulled the trigger because of the uncertainty. Like, you know, if that's – do you really want to start with a rookie tackle, you know, especially under these circumstances? I think that's the really good point of it's probably going to have a lot of these rookies, their progress slowed a bit on getting on the field on Sundays just because of the unusual offseason, right? You know, we all know the coaches have to trust players. We always talk about, man, you better have the coaches trust, because if they don't trust you, more times than not, coaches are not real comfortable with you out there for at least an extended period of time. And it's going to be hard for rookies to earn that trust if they haven't really been able to see their body of work out on the practice field. And who knows what that's going to be.
No question.
You know, or what that's going to be this offseason.
I agree. I'll tell you what, though. I was really intrigued by listening to Isaiah sort of introduce himself to us. I thought that's some pretty interesting stuff. You just don't see a whole lot of New York City college football players. Right? I mean, it's very unique that he comes from there. And you know, coming up through the ranks, I can't imagine there was a lot of real deep youth league football programs for him to get a lot of tutelage in. As he said, he was the biggest kid. He probably, you know, can you imagine him in a Pop Warner game? The people would have been like, wait a minute, this guy's too big, man. We can't play against this guy. Like, what was that like? That's crazy. But then he goes and he gets into a really good high school football program where you heard him say, you know, they were playing postgraduate teams. They were playing teams outside of the area to get good competition there. So he got some good development there. And then he goes to Georgia, right? You go from Brooklyn, which is, I mean, a city man city. I mean, that is a city right there. And then you go to Athens, Georgia. What an interesting contrast.
Yeah. It is interesting, and I saved that on purpose because I knew that you were going to want to get into the New York angle, because honestly, that was the first thing I thought of when we found out we were going to have him on. I was like, how did you get from Brooklyn, New York to Georgia, to Athens, Georgia? Like, tell us about playing up there as opposed to, you know, what it's been like playing in the South, football in the South.
So my brother lived in Brooklyn for, I don't know, 10 or 12 years at least. And so when I would travel with the Predators up to New York, a lot of times the team would play two, sometimes all three of the New York area teams, the Islanders, the Rangers, and then the Devils, throw in the Devils there. So you could be staying in New York for 4 or 5 days. And it's so interesting. When I would go over and visit my brother in Brooklyn, you go through the town. Right, and of course, the Islanders have been playing in Brooklyn a lot of their games here the last few years. You'd be hard-pressed to find a field. Forget about a football field or a nice football field, any kind of field. Right? You got to go out of your way to find places like this. And it's very unique how they're kind of jammed in there at a school. You know, it's right in the middle of the city. There's just not a lot of green space that you're going to find in there. So it had to be a big challenge just to find places to play, find good leagues to play, but he made it through. So it's a great story.
It is a great story.
It was good
story.
To get to know him.
Mm-hmm. Now we're going to find out what's his role and how's it all going to play out. And can they keep this thing rolling? Because as we talked about in that interview, he's used to a lot of winning at Georgia. My guess is he probably did a lot of winning in high school up in New York. And so now he's coming to an organization that there were four teams left at the end, and the Titans were one of them before the Super Bowl matchup. And so we'll find out if they can keep it going. And we know how important it is to, one, to protect Ryan Tannehill, and two, open up holes for their running back, Derrick Henry. And yeah. We'll see how he fits into that equation. They need, you know, what's interesting, it's the inexact science of offensive linemen, right? Because we heard that about Chance Warmack. Oh, it's almost can't miss pick, road grader, all that stuff you hear about offensive linemen, right? When you hear scouts throw out those terms. Like, you heard all of that about Chance Warmack. Didn't work out. Didn't work out here. Same thing with, I'm drawing blanks. The guy they signed, Andy Levitre from Buffalo.
Yeah.
They paid
no
him
question,
a big
lot of money.
And it was a surefire. He was the hot, you know, offensive lineman out there. His best guard on the market. And the Titans paid him. And it didn't work out here. And so it's just weird how.
Did anything in the Wisenhunt era really work out, though?
No.
Yeah.
No, not really. yes, that's incorrect.
Opening day.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Opening the first game of the season. That did work out. That worked out well. And then after that, it was a train wreck. So, yeah, first game of the season would be your answer. That's the only way you could answer that. But it's just you just never know, right? And I guess maybe you could say that about – but, you know, sometimes they all say it, right? Like, oh, this is – you know, you can't go wrong with this guy. Big guy, athletic, road grader, loves to do this. He's got a nasty side to him. And, you know, you heard Isaiah Wilson say, I want to hurt people. I got that nasty side, and that's all great. And maybe all of that, and hopefully all that plays out. That's what you're hoping. But it's just weird how sometimes it feels like everybody could be on the same page, and then it just doesn't play out. I mean, we've had that happen with hires too, right? I mean, we hear that, especially like basketball hires in this conference. Oh, what a great hire. That makes so much sense. I mean, that's you can't go wrong with that hire. And 4 years later, it's like, well, that didn't work out. Maybe you can go wrong with that hire. So that's kind of the fun part, trying to figure out what works, what doesn't. All right, we'll come back. Like I said, Rick Stockstill at noon and Joe Ward at 1 o'clock. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase next. A lot of you are working from home during this COVID-19 pandemic. You can stream us from anywhere. You can download the Game Nashville app. You can enable your Alexa skill or Google Home and ask it to play 102.5 The Game. Or you can live stream from our website, thegamenashville.com. Those are all options for us. And wanted to quiz you guys on this. This is a fun little – in fact, I saw this morning, and it's pretty mind-blowing, really, when you think about it. So we're going to play a little game. And, Chase, you may have seen this, so if you have, I want you to bow out. If you haven't, play along.
Okay.
So I'm going to give you a quarterback, and you're going to tell me how many career touchdown passes they had to first-round picks in their career. Okay? Do you understand where I'm going with this?
Yeah, I haven't seen this. So
you have not seen it?
Nope.
Okay.
I know where you're going with it. I've seen one – big part of it.
Okay,
so let's just keep that in mind.
Okay, so let's start with a former. Okay, just to kind of put things, a couple of formers, just to put it in perspective. Then we'll get to current. Okay, let's go Peyton Manning. How many career touchdown passes do you think he had to first-round picks?
Oh, man.
Yeah, I know. I'm just asking you to throw out a number. But I'll be curious to hear where, you know, just where you guys think it that answer may be.
I would say...
Well, we just had this the other day with Marvin Harrison. I believe Marvin Harrison was the first-round pick, and those two are the number one combo in NFL history, right? We established that at 112 right there.
Yep.
Reggie Wayne was a first-round
pick. Correct.
So I'm going
to
say
a ton
like
to Reggie Wayne.
300?
So it's over 200, I would say.
I'll say 300.
Okay, 300 for Chase. Willie, what do you got? 200?
Okay, is it only wide receivers?
Edgerrin James.
So Dallas Clark was a first-round pick.
Dallas Clark, Edgerrin James, Marshall Faulk, right?
So it's definitely over.
It just says career touchdown
passes. Marshall Faulk, I guess he was there before Edgerrin James, but Edgerrin James would have a bunch. So it's over 300, I would say, around 300. Chase is in the ballpark, I think.
You guys are all over it. It's 293.
Okay.
293.
Okay. I thought it might be higher than
So really, when he got to Denver, he didn't throw a whole lot more to first-round picks, right? He threw a ton of touchdown passes with Denver.
Yes.
But I guess those
that
were to your
correct.
Eric Deckers and your – those
correct.
Those were not the first-round picks.
Yep. Mostly, I would say that body of work was in Indy. Yep. All right. How about Dan Marino? So Peyton Manning
Dan
was 293.
Marino.
What about Dan Marino?
I don't know the draft very well back then. Yeah. Clayton and Duper, I don't remember if those guys were first-round picks or not. I have no idea off the
number
top of my head.
Is 84. Okay?
84.
Okay. So Peyton Manning, 293.
So that was so
– Dan Marino, Clayton, 84.
And Clayton and Marino were on that list of top five combinations.
They were. Mm-hmm.
And so Clayton was not a first-round pick then, right? Couldn't have been. That would have been almost every one.
You're right. You're right. I don't think. No, he was. I'm looking it up. He was an eighth round pick.
Wow.
An eighth round pick. Wow.
Eighth round
doesn't
pick.
Even exist.
1983 out of Louisville. Eighth round.
Wow. And Duper. What was Mark Duper?
Duper was. A second round pick.
A second round
pick out of Northwestern State.
Good find.
Yeah. And to draft him in the second round, right? Draft a receiver from Northwestern State in the second round in 1982. They did pretty good, right? 82 and 83. Mark Clayton and Mark Duper. Not bad. Second round and eighth round pick.
So Irving Fryer would have caught some. Have we given the number? It's less than 100, said, for 80-something?
84.
So Irving Fryer, I think, came to the Dolphins. He was not the Dolphins' first-round pick, but he had been a high first-round pick.
Irving Fryer, wasn't he the number one pick overall?
If he wasn't number one, he was two or three. He was way up there. He might have been number one. Patriots. Okay, so are we moving off
all
of
right, we are,
Marino?
We are moving
he was
off,
the number
yes.
one pick overall.
Okay.
He was number one overall. Okay, so Dan Marino, 84. How about Brett Favre, and then we'll get into current quarterbacks.
I'm trying to think.
So you got one perspective of 293, the other one 84. So big gap between Peyton Manning and Dan Marino. How about a guy like Brett Favre?
They didn't seem to spend a lot of high first-round picks on receivers for him.
I'm going to say like 115.
Well, I got to believe Sterling Sharp was a first-round pick, but I can't swear to that.
That's good. That's what I was thinking.
That was a lot early. Andre Rison, would he have been a first-round pick?
I would think so, yeah.
Antonio Freeman, would he have been a first-round pick? I don't know. Maybe not.
Yeah, Sterling Sharp was a first-round pick.
All right, so 150?
Andre Rison was a first-round pick.
Okay, now I might want to be a little higher.
I'll say 150.
Okay.
Mark Chimura, was he a first?
Mark Chewy? Chimura was not a first-round pick.
He was not a first-round pick, okay.
Donald Driver, was he?
He was pretty. He had some years where he threw to some pretty good no names, right? He could elevate some guys that were not very good. I'm trying to think of who he threw to in his brief stint with the Vikings or the Jets, if there were any guys in there.
The number is 127.
Okay, so we're in the ballpark.
Kind of
we're doing pretty well so far.
Yeah. So Peyton Manning 293, Brett Favre 127, Dan Marino 84. Okay. Now let's talk about current quarterbacks. How about a guy like Philip Rivers?
Okay. He's thrown to a lot of different receivers. That's for sure. He's been around a long time. We know that Antonio Gates was not drafted.
Right.
And that's his number one target.
Yep.
The Keenan Allens of the world, Mike Williams. Williams, I think, was a first-round pick, right? Just recently?
Yep.
Was Keenan Allen a first-round pick?
I don't think so.
Third-rounder.
Yeah.
You know what? He might be less than 100.
Yeah, I'll say less than 100.
I'll say 85.
So Marino 84, Philip Rivers 85.
Yeah, I'll say in that ballpark. I'll say less than 100.
I don't think he's thrown to a lot of first rounders.
Philip Rivers 35.
Okay. 35.
Well, we were right, Willie, of less than 100.
Less than 100 was right, although it could have been more.
Philip Rivers 35. Ben Roethlisberger, boy, the Steelers are wide receiver you, man, right? They just crush it. They are just gold when it comes to wide receivers. Ben Roethlisberger, Big Ben, what's his number?
Well, we know Hines Ward was not a first-round pick. We know Antonio Brown was not a first-round pick. Smith-Schuster, not a first-round pick. So that number is pretty low, I would say.
Randall L.
Not a first-round pick.
Yeah, I'll say
Mike Wallace, maybe a first round pick.
I'm gonna say
it's closer to Rivers.
Mike Wallace.
I'm gonna say 25.
Less than 50. Less than 50.
Less than 50.
Yeah.
69.
Nice.
Ah. Okay.
69. So Tom Brady is 105. Drew Brees is 104. Okay, so you've got Philip Rivers 35, Ben Roethlisberger 69, Drew Brees 104, Tom Brady 105. Quite honestly, Tom Brady's number is a little higher than I thought it would be, and Drew Brees' number is a little lower than I thought it would be. How about a guy like Aaron Rodgers?
This is the part I know, so I'm not going to say.
This was the whole point of the exercise.
Right.
I'm trying to think of first-round picks that they have had since he's been there. I'll say his number's pretty low for that.
Oh, it's pretty low.
Is it less than 10?
Intent.
Is that if this is the whole point, is it less than 10?
Yes.
Is it zero?
It's one.
It's close.
One.
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 Wow.
And do you know who it was?
I have no idea.
Mercedes Lewis last year.
Wow.
The Packers, since Aaron Rodgers, I think it's 15 years he's been their quarterback, have not drafted a wide receiver or running back in the first round since Aaron Rodgers has been the quarterback. You talking about...
They have taken a quarterback.
You talk about a travesty, right? Aaron Rodgers is your quarterback, and in 15 years you have not drafted a receiver or running back. And what really brought all this on is, yet again, they've done it again. Like, what did we talk about all this leading up to the draft? What was this? Rich in what? What talent? Rich in wide receiver talent. Packers selected zero wide receivers in this draft. Forget first round, because we know what they did in the first round. They drafted zero wide receivers. They did draft a running back in the second round, but they drafted a quarterback, and they did draft a running back in the second round, but they took no receivers. But Aaron Rodgers, last year, Mercedes Lewis was just a free agent signing. That was the only time in his career he's thrown a touchdown pass to a first-round pick.
That's really interesting.
Is that not mind-blowing?
Well, I can remember times where Bill Polian, when he was running the Colts, would be drafting these guys, and there was a lot of criticism saying, you know, why would they draft Reggie Wayne? Why would they draft Dallas Clark? They already have Peyton Manning. They already have a really good offense. They need help on defense. But that was the philosophy of Bill Polian. I'm going to have the best quarterback, but I'm also going to have the best weapons. And so we're going to have such a dominating offense that we don't need a great defense. We'll just get by on defense. And it did get him a Super Bowl. The Packers have clearly been different. You can see the philosophy, right? This isn't anything new. And they've thought, okay, Aaron Rodgers is going to raise the level of personnel on offense. We'll still have a good offense, and we're going to use our resources elsewhere and build the team that way. And to be honest, they've won about the same amount of games, right? Peyton Manning won one Super Bowl with the Colts, got to a second, and got to several deep runs into the playoffs. You could probably say almost the same exact thing about Aaron Rodgers. He's got a title. He has been to, I think, four AFC or NFC championship games.
Correct.
Pretty consistent winning. So it's different ways to build your roster.
But you would think, because so many times, they're always trying to build around the quarterback, right? And give them anything and
give
everything. Yeah, and all Green Bay has done is just the opposite.
Yeah, I mean they.
But you can say whatever they have done, it's not like it's miserably failed, right? You can argue would they have done better if they have gone differently, but they've won a lot of games.
Don't you think Aaron Rodgers should have more than one Super Bowl win, though?
Well, couldn't you just said that about Peyton Manning?
Yeah.
With those Colts teams,
true. You could have. I mean, you could have probably said that about Favre, but.
Yeah, you know, Favre 1-1.
Yep.
I just
Drew Brees
think,
is 1-1.
Yep.
Drew Brees has got one.
And he's had weapons.
He's had plenty of weapons.
He's
had
some
bad defense.
Really bad luck in the playoffs the last few years.
It's really a fascinating subject to kind of go through. What's the best way to build a roster? Even when you have the best quarterback. What do you do?
I don't even know if there's a correct answer.
It's tough. It's not as simple as it might seem. But this is the big discussion right now. I was, the Get Up crew. That's how I happen to know that. They were using that stat and saying, okay, what do you do? And not only have they done this, right, but then you draft a first-round quarterback. So that accomplishes nothing to build the roster in the immediate future.
Yeah.
And it was pointed out that Aaron Rodgers' contract is such that if you wanted to get radical and pull a Jerry Krause and say, let's trade Aaron Rodgers, that's not even an option because there was so much dead money tied to his contract.
For the next 2 years.
For the next 2 years. He's untradeable for the next 2 years.
Because
so you've drafted a guy that cannot help you right now for 2 years.
Because Kornheiser came out yesterday and said that Aaron Rodgers should demand a trade. Well, the point is he can demand a trade all he wants, but Green Bay's not doing it. They're not going to honor it because they're tied to him for the next 2 years. It makes zero sense on the business side of things to trade him. Zero.
He
doesn't do anything for them. In fact, I think they said if they were to trade him away this year, it would actually hurt them even more by having him on off the roster than having him on the roster. So we know that's not going to help. I'm talking about on the business side for the book's purposes.
Sure.
So it makes no sense. There's no way it's going to happen. But
Belichick's
dog
is working on it, though. I know he's made some calls.
Look, if it wasn't for that, you know that would be the dot that would start getting connected quickly, right?
It's already been out there.
Is New England going to figure out a way to trade for Aaron Rodgers? Well, it can't be. It's not going to be out there because of what we just talked about. Like, it makes no sense. Green Bay can't do it.
Yeah.
They've boxed themselves in. So those two are stuck together. The Packers and Aaron Rodgers are stuck together, whether they like it or not, whether they're getting along with each other or not. They're stuck. They're married. They can't get out.
So you can justify not drafting a wide receiver or in the first round to a point, right? You can justify that if you're saying, I'm using these resources to build a winning team around Aaron Rodgers that way. But you can't justify drafting his replacement that can't help you for 2 years. He's going to take up significant cap space, even though it's his first contract, Jordan Love. But he's not going to be on the field to help Aaron Rodgers.
Yep.
That doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't. It doesn't. And if it doesn't make any sense to us, can you imagine what he's thinking?
Yeah, and he's got opinions, as we know.
Yes, he does.
And he's got clout.
Just a few.
He does have the clout, and he does have opinions. So I don't know how good luck with all that. I don't know how all that's going to play out. And, you know, it'll be fine as long as they're winning. You know, if they can keep producing 13-3 regular seasons, everything will be fine. But we always know the true test of a locker room or relationship is when things start getting rocky, right? Whenever you're doing a whole lot of losing, because that's usually when stuff comes out. And I don't know. We will find out. The Eagles have picked up the fifth-year option on Derek Barnett. We were talking about that 2017 draft where that has been the only thing in the last 6 years that has worked out for former Vols players getting drafted, and it looks like Derek Barnett will get his fifth year picked up by the Eagles. When we come back, we'll head down to Rutherford County where I am in Murfreesboro. We'll check in with MTSU head coach Rick Stockstill. We'll do that next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.